A reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. May God bless the reading to our hearing and understanding.
Oh God, your presence is real. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. This morning we continue our sermon series, Reforming Your Life, Three Simple Rules that John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, laid out as a roadmap for us to follow the Christ methodically. Three simple rules: do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. We're looking at each of them in depth, but we're also looking at them in the context of the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation this month. Because if Martin Luther hadn't nailed his 95 theses on the door of the church at Wittenberg, we might not be gathered in this time or place today. So in this context, in the first week, we considered who we are and how our own lives might need reforming so that we can fully receive and practice Wesley's rules. We then considered rule one, do no harm, and how that rule manifests itself in loving others, even when they might seem unlovable. Last week, we talked about rule number two, do good, and how we as people of Christ in the face of evil must continue to do good in this world. Today, our focus is on rule number three, stay in love with God. Now, that phrasing comes from Bishop Reuben Jobe, who wrote the book Three Simple Rules that many of us have been reading or have read. Wesley's actual words was, attend upon the ordinances of God. I think I like stay in love with God better, right? But what did Wesley mean when he said, attend upon the ordinances of God? He was talking about practicing what he considered the means of receiving God's grace in our lives. Those ordinances are worship, the Lord's Supper, searching the scripture, fasting, and prayer, and in some lists he also listed works of mercy. Wesley believed that the regular and faithful practice of these ordinances kept the relationship between God and us vital and alive and growing, but he also called them the means of grace through which God's gifts of love and mercy, joy, forgiveness, and grace are given to us. Wesley expected his Methodists to have a daily time of prayer, both personal and with family, to study the Bible privately and with groups, to participate in Christian community, to attend worship weekly, to share in the Lord's Supper, to practice fasting, and to do good works. In Wesley's mind, these were essential for living faithfully and staying in love with God. Now, today we'll call these spiritual disciplines for the most part, and with the distractions, demands, and complexities of life today, I believe they're more necessary than ever for receiving and living the life to which Christ has called us. And to neglect them is to neglect the source of life and power that God gives us. Bishop Jobe quotes Sister Joan Chittister in why following a spiritually disciplined life is so important. She writes, all we have in life is life. Things, the cars, the houses, the educations, the jobs, the money, they come and go and they turn to dust between our fingers. They change and disappear. But the secret of life, Sister Chittister says, is that it must be developed from the inside out. Brothers and sisters, we stay in love with God when we practice doing so daily. And out of all of Wesley's ordinances or means of grace, I want us to focus on and practice one together this morning, and that is prayer. Because while most of my sermons will talk about how we as Christians need to go and do, if that going and doing, if worshiping with our hands and feet is not grounded in our hearts and in daily connection with God, then it will not be impactful, and our world needs us to be impactful now with God's love more than ever. Amen? But that prayer time, that connection with God on a daily basis that allows us to remain in relationship with God, reminds us that we don't face this world alone. That daily connection with God enables us to be filled up with joy and not worn down by the struggles of everyday life. So let me ask, how often do we pray? No show of hands here, but several times a day? Daily? A few times a week? On Sunday during the silent prayer time? Which went longer today and I know frustrated some of you greatly. And that was intentional, not to frustrate you, but to go longer. Or do we find ourselves praying mostly when we're going through difficult times and somehow praying a whole lot less when things are going well? The great theologian Robert McAvee Brown wrote one of my favorite quotations on prayer, which I have shared before. He writes, "Prayer for many is like a foreign land. When we go there as tourists. Like most tourists, we feel uncomfortable and out of place. And like most tourists, we move along before too long and go somewhere else." In other words, we tend to rush through our prayers. "Hey, God, how you doing? I'm okay, but I could use some help in working things out, you know, at work. And oh, yeah, help the homeless and pray for everyone on that prayer list. Thank you, God. Amen." We don't spend time simply being in the presence of God and listening for God. You know, maybe we think that God already knows our hearts, so why do we need to spend time telling God what God already knows? But the reality is this: daily contact with God is important because it is through prayer that we build a relationship with God. We come to rely on God more and on ourselves less. God becomes an integral part of our lives, not a second-rate substitute for when things don't work out on our own. You know, if we think of the concentric circles of relationship that sustain our lives, who is in the innermost circle? Those with whom we have daily contact, right? They are the ones we depend upon, the ones who know us best, the ones who will call us on our attitudes, and they will be the first one to come to our aid when we need help. That's the sort of relationship that we want to cultivate with God. That's what it means to stay in love with God. And like any loving relationship, doing so takes time. But if we commit to practicing the presence of God day by day, we will find that prayer becomes a powerful means of staying in love with God. But there's more. In the 19th century, the Danish theologian Soren Kierkegaard wrote that the function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays. The function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays. So when we place ourselves, our vulnerable selves, our metaphorically naked selves before God in prayer, by definition, we're changed. Our hearts are opened. We no longer are self-sufficient, but we become God-sufficient when we open ourselves to God's presence and power in our lives. Now, Bishop Job offers us three prayers for us to pray daily. These are going to be available for your use on our Facebook page and our website beginning this afternoon. You can download them for your use daily. You can post them however you'd like to use them, but I do want to invite you to pray them, or at least one of them, on a daily basis. So to begin, I'd like for us to start by praying together a prayer for the beginning of the day, and you'll find it here now. Let us pray. Loving teacher, come and make your home in our hearts this day. Dwell within us all day long, and save us from error or foolish ways. Teach us today to do no harm, to do good, and assist us so that we may stay in loving relationship with you and our neighbor. Help us today to be an answer to another's prayer, so that we may be one of your signs of hope in the world you love. Amen. How does it feel to pray that you might be the answer, that you might be the sign of hope to another person? It feels, for me, it feels a little bit awkward, unexpected, and yet a joy. Tomorrow, one of my dearest friends, Liz, and I are traveling to Nashville to see, and then driving a little ways into Alabama, to see a mutual friend named Francis Bass, who has been on our prayer list for about a year now, maybe even longer. She was a former part of this congregation. She served a couple of Episcopal offices, or a couple of bishops, rather, in the Episcopal office in the Desert Southwest Conference, and she has stage 4 cancer. Liz and I went to see her the end of May. We went to say goodbye because she's on hospice, and we just were sure that we would never see her again. I don't know what happened, but between the time we visited and about a month ago, but whatever it was, whether it's just simply not taking chemo and feeling good about that, and the rate of the cancer progression has slowed to the point where she's feeling better. She is no longer in skilled nursing. She has moved from skilled nursing into assisted living, which really never happens on hospice care. And she said, "I want y'all to come out and see me and take me out in my wheelchair. We're gonna go get some fried okra." And Liz and I have had quite a few talks about how this might have happened. And Liz finally said she found her hope again when she saw us. That we didn't go to say goodbye. We went to tell her, get up and get out of bed. I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if this will be the last visit. It quite possibly could. What I do know is that however that manifests itself, we served as a sign of hope when we were going to mourn and to grieve. So no matter what happens, we are glad to be used by God in this way to bring hope to a person whom I consider one of God's both faithful servants. Now that's one example, and it's rather extreme, but you know, each of us, imperfect as we are, unworthy as we might feel we are, we can be signs of hope and grace for each other in our daily lives. Now, we learn from each other, right? Not in their perfections, but in their struggles. That's where we find hope. The great Southern writer Flannery O'Connor once said that we don't learn grace from perfect people. And if you have read her writings, you know she doesn't talk about perfect people. She talks about grotesque people. But she said, we don't learn grace from perfect people. It's only through flawed and grotesque people that grace shines through. So I encourage you to pray daily that you might indeed be a sign of hope to another in a very unexpected way. At midday, Bishop Job suggests that we offer this prayer. Let us pray together. God of love, holiness, and strength, we thank you for the gift of your presence through the morning hours. Continue to make yourself and your way known to us throughout the remaining hours of the day. Grant us grace to follow you in faithfulness, joy, and peace. We are yours. Amen. I don't know about you, but it's about midday or early afternoon that I begin to realize everything I am not going to get done on my desk in a day. Is that true for anyone else? It's about when we check social media and we wonder all over again about the state of the world and how we can truly do no harm and do good in the face of everything going on, and that seems to change by the hour, which makes this midday prayer, whether it's this one or one of your own, so important for our own spiritual life and for the world. Bishop Job writes, spiritual disciplines include not only practices that bind us to God every day, but they also include actions that heal the pain, injustice, and inequity of our world. It's impossible to stay in love with God and not desire to see God's goodness and grace shared with the entire world. In our epistle lesson for this morning, Paul is writing of his desire to see God's goodness and grace shared with the world that the church at Philippi, a Roman colony in northern Greece, claimed. But first, the church needed to claim their need to stay in love with God. I read a rather humorous posting this week on this passage from the Philippians, in which the author wrote, "You know, most of what we call the New Testament is really an extended treatise on conflict resolution." True. Paul wrote his church letters to address issues that were threatening the very fabric of their common lives. Each letter was an intervention. With the Galatians, it was membership requirements that were disturbing the peace. With the Corinthians, it was communion. The Colossians had a diversity issue. And even the Philippians, they had problems. There were two leaders of the congregation, two women, of course. Thank you very much. They were at odds with one another. People were taking sides, and things were starting to get ugly. Whatever it was bad enough that word got back to Paul through the bars of his prison cell. The easy thing to do to preserve the peace in the Philippian church would have been for the two women to go their separate ways and take their people with them. Problem solved. Churches and denominations do it all the time. Church growth through division. Amoebic Christianity, we might call it. But here's the thing, Paul wasn't interested in keeping the peace. He was interested in making it. He didn't want the Philippians to give up on one another. Instead, he wanted them to double down on Jesus. So from his cell, he put pen to papyrus, and he wrote, "Be of the same mind in the Lord." Paul says, whatever differences you may have, don't let that be one of them, because if that is lost, all is lost. You can be of a different mind about just about anything else. Just be of one mind in the Lord. Agree on that one thing. Agree on Jesus. In today's parlance, we might say, agree to stay in love with God. And then Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Don't worry about anything but with prayer. With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Brothers and sisters, we need to pray for our hearts and minds to be guarded by the peace of God today within the church universal and within our denomination so that we don't give up on one another. Amen. When I read of yet another United Methodist clergy person beginning a disciplinary process tomorrow, this time in Cincinnati, because he happens to be gay and happens to have been married to his husband for, 29 years, it convicts me more importantly of the need for prayer and the need to stay in love with God. When religious freedom is defined narrowly within society to exclude a portion of God's children, we need to pray and we need to stay in love with God. Amen. When men in power positions, and right now I'm picking on men and I'm okay with that today, be they in Hollywood or government or business or the church, when they are not held to account for their actions that hurt and harm others, especially women, we need to pray. And we need to stay in love with God so that when we call for justice, when we call for that accountability, we will be unambiguous and we will be steadfast. Amen? Because at the end of the day, we're all accountable for our actions and our inactions. Bishop Job invites us to pray for that level of consciousness at the end of each day. Let us pray for a prayer at the end of the day. Tender shepherd of my soul, Make yourself and your way known to me in this evening time of prayer and reflection. Bring awareness of my failures and a confidence in your desire and ability to forgive my sins, heal my wounds, and mend my broken places. By the power of your presence, bring me to the end of the day whole, complete, and at peace with you, my neighbor and myself. Grant a night of peaceful rest and send me forth tomorrow as a witness to your love and grace. Amen. Three simple rules. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.